I feel like we should dive headfirst in, and then we can introduce ourselves later. Let's get a little road under the tires here. So, who had a chance to watch any of the Black or the Turkey Day marathon yesterday?
I watched 5 seconds of it before my girlfriend told me to put the phone down.
Well, yeah, that's
that was a thing. Okay.
Yeah, and I had the same issue. I tried to sneak off and watch it myself, and didn't last too long.
I forced my family to watch the entire thing start to finish because I'm taller than everyone and could hide the remote. So, there was a couple of nice things during the course of it. We got to see Joel wandering around the Kickstarter, like, offices, making it weird and awkward.
Of course.
There was a new Kickstarter video thing at the end that showed the new Mad in her full and resplendent glory and had Jonah and her up on the big screen instead of down at the little box. So, okay. Let's rewind here. So, if you're just now tuning in, you haven't missed anything. This is like the first time we're doing this, but you have missed something in that Mystery Science Theater 3000 is coming back.
Yay.
Awesome.
Right. So a couple of weeks ago, Sir Joel Hodgman.
Hodgman is a different guy.
Joel Robinson.
Yes, that guy.
Yes. Just you know, okay, so Not Mike launched a Kickstarter on Kickstarter, through Kickstarter, with Kickstarter, and laid out a couple of seemingly impossible goals for the course of a month. If they managed to raise $2 million, we were going to be guaranteed, at least Kickstarter guaranteed, 3 new episodes of MST3K at some point in time in the future. And then the stretch goals were additional episodes up to, I believe the cap is 5.5 million, at which time we will get a full short season of 12, which, right. You know, we shouldn't be critical of it because this is the new world. We're not ever going to get a 26 season ever again. That just isn't going to happen. So, and then yesterday happened. This is a Friday. So yesterday was Thanksgiving. And as is traditional with Mystery Science Theater 3000, they were running a MST marathon. And the marathon was peppered with additional content. So Joel got video calls from Crow and Servo. He talked to Jonah. He talked to a bunch of the people at the Kickstarter offices. And there was a new video, which is a part of this Kickstarter series of videos, where he actually has the new host, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and the new Mad, and they're up there on screen in character with him. And So the new casting is Jonah Ray as Jonah Heston.
Right. Clearly an homage to that guy with that name, Charlton Heston.
Right. And I mean, it's a good solid name. It's Joel Robinson was obviously a throwback to the Swiss Family Robinson and Robinson Crusoe and
Lost in Space.
Every other castaway that's ever been there. And Mike, his last name is actually Nelson, but Nelson is, you know, that's like an astronaut name too.
Yeah.
And Joel has said that his original idea which I don't actually believe even a little bit, but sure, we'll go with it, was that MST was designed to be an anthology series with him taking a turn for like 100 episodes, and then he stepped aside for a new host, and that was Mike, and then Mike had it for around 100 episodes, and now it's time for a new guy to sit in the seat and suffer the same fate as everyone else, and that's going to be Jonah.
Well, and if you don't mind me saying here, Jim, part of that, I personally believe, had to deal with issues between the actors and backstage. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I heard that there was some, you know, external issues between where and who thought the direction of the show should go.
Yeah, no, and it's Mike definitely kind of slid things more towards a Hollywood bend. I don't see Joel ever agreeing to the movie.
Right. That's too, it seems too big for Joel to take that on. If we look at Joel's previous history when it comes to his, you know, on stage, it seems like when he's on the brink of things getting really big, he'll take a step back.
Yeah. He's got a built-in limiter where as soon as he starts being successful, he immediately sabotages himself.
How many projects he's gone from, you know, one, you know, from Jimmy Kimmel to, what was the one he did with Judd Apatow, the Xbox TV wheel?
Oh, TV wheel. Yeah. For HBO. Well, and I mean, he was a guy, he was on Saturday Night Live, he was a comedy segment on one of the late show, tonight show things. He had a solid stand-up thing, and then as soon as he started succeeding, he was like, nope, I'm moving back to Minnesota. And that's how MST, you know, came into existence in the first place, was that whole abort, success, Warning. But now, MST, so the big thing that I don't think anybody is really talking about at the core of all of this is that for a long time, MST has been stretched over a bunch of different owners, because Joel owned a creator stake in it, and Jim Mallon, who was executive producer and the voice of Gypsy and showrunner and stuff,
and the guy everyone hated for a while,
yeah, with some reasons, but at the same time he also kept the wheels on the ground and kept the show on. So I mean, that's you got to give him credit for he may not have been the heart, but he was like the pancreas of the show.
Okay.
what if went with a more vital organ? But yeah.
Okay, the kidneys.
There you go.
The liver. He was the liver of the show. he doesn't get all of the glory that the brain and the heart and stuff like that do, but you're dead without him. So
he's the vestigial organs. He's the appendix.
That. It was, but I mean, he totally needed to be there, because that was, and then the other casting, because we were talking about Jonah, the other casting that they've announced so far rewind, insert tape. So the big thing that changed is now MST is owned lock, stock, and barrel by Shout Factory, mm-hmm. which is the company that has been releasing the DVDs. And
to be honest, is amazing, because when they had the, was it the 20th anniversary at San Diego Comic-Con that Robbie and I went to? And when Shout Factor was like, well, we're going to take a crack at the entire run, Robbie and I looked at each other and we're like, well, Rhino couldn't do that. You know, all these rights issues and what have you. And, you know, sure enough, they've taken a huge chunk out of, I think, doesn't Vimeo have the entire series?
I don't know if they have the whole thing, but I know they've got a bunch of them.
Yeah, Vimeo has a ton, but I don't really think that getting all the episodes is going to ever be possible.
I don't know. Never say never.
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, okay, so let's throw out some accolades here as to who we are. Is it accolades? Is that what am I thinking of? Credentials. Let's throw out some credentials. We're about 10 minutes in. It's about time we actually introduce ourselves. Somebody else go first.
Not it.
All right, I'll go. My name's Joe. I've been a Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan for well over 10 years. And I am a bot creator. I have my own crow. And I've, you know, dabbled in many of the different items that they've had for sale and things of that nature.
Is it my turn?
Yes, you go.
Oh,
I'll totally introduce you. It will not even be sort of factual, but I will totally introduce the hell out of you if you want me to.
Fine, go ahead.
All right. Signing in at chair number 2, we have John J. Galbo. That's about it.
I feel like I don't need an introduction at this point because of where this podcast is probably going to end up, but I mean, doing the starting the, I guess, going back into the annals of MST history. Mystery Science Theater was my first website, my first venture into fandom. So, what do I want to say? 1997, 1998, I think. And just doing a lot of different things. I'm not a bot builder like Joey, but I did spend about a week trying to cut into a servo head gumball machine with a steak knife once.
Were you trying to saw the dome off so that you could put the cap underneath it and extend the neck like season 3 on?
I don't even remember why. I should have just left it.
Hey, but okay, so you were one of the first moderators of one of the Sci-Fi Channel chat things.
Oh, the Deep 13?
The Deep 13.
Or the Satellite of Love, which was a ripoff.
You had both of that. You also had a website that was totally a thing that people looked at, and you updated at least once.
Sure. Actually, the Tripod website is still up. And maybe if I remember, I'll put it in the show notes.
So you've got that, and we've never really gone away. So that's, I mean,
that's the thing. We've never gone away. It just
Let's not forget to mention MS Tapes.
Oh, God, yes. That was
the
thing. That I think that the archive is still somewhere. I think it's on the August4th.org website somewhere. But it's not viewable to public eyes. Maybe one of these days I'll transfer it over to ACPN or something.
So MS Tapes was a 1998-ish through the early 2000s thing where we would take a movie and we would all sync it up from our own individual locations, you know.
Which is a horrible idea when you think about
it. It is a horrible idea, but if this sounds slightly familiar to you, okay, everybody take your movie to the start of the TriStar logo and then pause it. Then, A, you've listened to a riff tracks at some point in time, and B, you know the hell that we put ourselves through every couple of weeks for a long time.
And then towards the end when we didn't want to do any of them, and I'm like, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to make a nice little Photoshop logo anyway and pretend that we did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the Hulk comes to mind, Ang Lee's the Hulk.
Yeah, but we would do that only because it was, you know, the early 90s and the internet would have broken if we'd had like this Skype call, even like the sheer level of bandwidth would have turned all the lights off in Chicago.
Oh God. And then remember towards the end, I was trying to stream a lot of it over
my
DVD player.
Yeah.
Which that was working for a little bit. I mean, it would work in spurts, but.
Right.
That was before the advent of, you know, streaming media like Ustream or Twitch or anything. So
yeah, so we would do that and then we would sit there and we would watch the movie and we would tick a tick a tick away on the keyboards and riff it ourselves.
Mm. Which in some points in some movies were pretty humorous.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was really good for the typing speed.
Hmm.
Totally got my numbers up.
Oh, God, yes.
And then I am Jim Hansen. I was one of the MS tapers. I watched the very first season of MST3K on cable on the Comedy Channel before my crappy local cable station switched themselves over to Ha! And I became one of the keep circulating the tapes victims. I think my lowest point was the point where I dated a girl in high school because she lived a couple of towns over and had the correct cable channels and totally was getting her to record it and send me tapes for it. And that was towards the end kind of one of the highlights of the relationship.
And it's funny. Oh, sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say my story about how I got into MST kind of parallels on how I got into Adult Swim, because it's the same idea that we didn't like. Not everyone had, like you said, Jim. Not everyone had the Comedy Channel, Comedy Central, or any of those. And one day I was visiting a friend's house, and he had Comedy Central, and we were up at. Like, must have been about 1 in the morning or something on a Saturday, watching, I believe, my first episode. Yeah, it was Ring of Terror was my first one. And just hysterical stuff, you know, just laughing. I'm like, I want more of this. How do I get this? And then, sure enough, you know, Comedy Central hit the, you know, basic cable airwaves and managed to see the last couple of seasons. And then Rhino came out and got all the videos.
Cool.
And I remember how I was introduced to it was just, I was staying home sick from school one day, and I was just flipping through the channels, and back then I didn't have Cartoon Network, so it was like, you know, I was just looking for anything, and I just found Comedy Central and was just drawn to the humor that they had on screen.
Yeah, I remember the Comedy Channel was kind of a vast wasteland. It was a bunch of weird old movies that were supposed to be comedies, but they weren't, like, funny. And then it was Higgins Boys and Gruber and a lot of stuff with Mr. Bill, Lemon World. I remember just all these weird like shows that sound like they were like made up shows by somebody that was like doing improv comedy and had to come up with a list of TV shows, and then people actually recorded them. So, I grew up. I went to broadcasting school. I started a public access version of MST called Cinematic for the People. We were on the air for a season on public access in Cincinnati. Then we were on low power UHF for a season in Cincinnati. And then we disbanded and I restarted it a few years ago on the internet. So I am a semi-pro riffer. I like to think, you know, I am a GoBot to MST's Transformers. But I'm okay with that. I think, you know, not all the GoBots were horrible. Some of the GoBots were pretty good. And I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees, for the iRiffers and for the fan riffers and all of the different shows inspired by and brought forth by the legacy MST3K left behind.
And we all met through the aforementioned Deep 13 chat. I should mention that.
Yeah, which is pound Deep 13, not hashtag Deep 13. Screw you, internet, Twitter, all of that stuff. We owned that symbol before you made it a thing.
Technically, IRC owned that symbol.
Yeah.
Yes, but our scars are shaped like hashtags, and it's not because of Instagram.
They branded us with hashtags.
I still do the slash me descriptive action thing sometimes, and Google Hangouts used to be able to parse that, and it would, you know, like, Jim really likes this idea, you know, and then sometimes it's just like slash me really likes this idea. And it's weird. The integration that is occasionally thrown up with the old IRC ways. I feel like it's sort of like knowing runes. You're like, it's an ancient forgotten language and we're all like, no, seriously, I know what to do in this situation. All right, we're going to slash this and this. All right, and there, enter. And it's like, you know, how did you make that message green? And I would be like, because this is using a script based off of IRC.
Oh, my God.
It's magic.
It was like, it was as much as we learned HTML at that point, or at least I did, nothing compares to the IRC scripts.
Oh, God, yeah.
And Merc.
Oh, yeah. Let's not even go into that stuff. So we all were originally of the Deep 13 chat room, the official sci-fi channel when MST was on sci-fi. And for reasons that, you know, I'm going to call there's a healthy dose of somewhere between PTSD and Stockholm syndrome here, but we still know one another and keep in communication.
And the three of us have met in person.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Which is very rare for, you know, chat rooms and the like.
Oh especially when you meet back in the day like that too.
Yeah, that was I just love that Joey and I have a mutual acquaintance who we know independently of one another. And then when she realized that we knew each other and we're just like, hey, man. And she's like, how do you two know each other? It's so funny to watch the looks on her face when she's just parsing it. And she's like, you two should not know. No. What? No.
Yeah, I think mine was exploded that day. Like, I don't know about you, Jim, but I actually saw, I think, you know, a piece of her brain fall out. Like, it could be just from her mind being blown, or, you know, and that's fine. You know, I completely understand that concept, because it is very strange, you know, to find out that these two people that you don't think that mesh well together, but they know each other really well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're just sitting there like, hey, you remember that one thing? And she's just like, no, he doesn't. He doesn't know that because he doesn't know you.
Yeah.
So we have reunited in this particular incarnation so that we can talk about MST and MST related topics. And I've laid out a little, where is it here? I laid out a little agenda of what you can expect if we keep doing this and people like it. And all I got to do is find the damn thing. Where in the hell did it go? Oh, here we go. Okay. So we're going to talk about new developments with the MST3K reboot. Done. We're going to talk about new episodes once they exist. Check. We're going to talk about new developments with the MST3K alumni. That's Mike, Kevin, Trace, Bill, any of the people not actively involved in the new MST.
For reasons we won't get into or probably really don't know too much about.
Yeah. New developments with higher profile riffing groups. And I do have a couple of those to bring up. Upcoming events, and I got one of those as well. And then not this time, because there's been a lot of groundwork we're laying here, but next time we're going to pick an MST3K episode from the vaults, and we're all going to watch it beforehand, and then we're just going to do a little bit on it, you know, like favorite moments, jokes that have held up well after 15, 20 years, jokes that have not, you know, that sort of stuff. And then occasional things, featuring fan riffers, you know, that's my charity case, to draw attention to their works. We're going to throw out a few movies that we think might sit well with the new MST. And we're going to talk bot building, because Joey and I both have a hand in that.
And I'm always interested in learning about, you know, any kind of stuff at all.
Yeah, maybe we can make your own.
Ooh. Yeah, we'll totally just force you to do it. Well, I got servos, he's got a crow, so I think that's obvious that you're going to have to build a gypsy now.
Oh. Unless they decide to come up with some other robot.
Well, I would be completely fine with that. I know a lot of people are kind of like cut on that, you know, like crow and servo or staples, but
which understandable why they kept them, but I don't know.
I suppose it's going to depend upon how they're bringing the show back, like what the premise behind the show is, because if the new MAD, and we really should probably talk about that, if the new MAD is just launching another satellite of love, then obviously she could be sticking Servo and Crow on it beforehand. But if this is, you know, a parallel development,
that's what I was thinking about, since all these TV shows and movies now are developing the concept of the multiverse, maybe it'll be a different Crow and Servo that we're looking at and not the ones that ended up with Mike at the end of, the sci-fi show.
Well, not necessarily even that. I always thought it would be really easy for them to do a reboot if they just pointed out that the Satellite of Love wasn't the only satellite Gizmonic Institute had. You know, if they had...
That's a good idea.
They could have had, you know, the Satellite of Bliss.
You mean like Prometheus? there wasn't just one ship.
Yeah, there's... You know, they could have had two or three of them. We could have had, you know, another one. And for all we know, Forrester and Frank, as soon as they hung up with Joel back in the early days, switched over to a different channel, and they were like, all right, bring up the Satellite of Bliss. Well, hello, Carl. Today you're going to be watching Lifetime Channel's Movie of the Week, you know, and they're running an entirely different experiment that we never even saw. We don't know. It's... The things that didn't happen on screen didn't necessarily not happen. They just, you know, like, once you drive the nail into that cannon and keep it put, it's set forever. But all the stuff that they've never talked about, they never said Joel and Mike were the only ones that they had in space. They never said the satellite of love is the only satellite.
That is true.
I mean, it makes it a little bit more complicated, though, because for two people like Dr. Forrester and Frank, do you really think that they could keep up with all these different test subjects that they have in outer space?
Maybe that's why they were always so scattered.
Well, that's true, too.
And also why they frequently got Joel's name wrong.
Or just called him Booby or Bobola.
Yeah. Okay. You know, hey, chum, we've got a bad movie for you this week. We're sending you... Oh, no, we already used that one. Hold on. Frank. Ah, here we go. Cave Dwellers, yes. Push the button.
Now, see, here's my question about it. So we have Jonah Ray as the spaceman slash test subject going into space and watching bad movies. We have Felicia Day as the mad scientist. Both of them are part of the, I guess it's combined now, the Nerdist slash Geek and Sundry faction.
Right.
Now, there's an empty space that says the next evil henchman. Do you think they're going to end up pulling from the same group?
It would be so awesome if it was Will Wheaton.
So,
I don't know. I kind of thought it was going to be Felicia Day, considering it was Jonah Ray, and the way her silhouette looks. The silhouette on the next evil henchman kind of gives me a Patton Oswalt kind of vibe.
And I've heard Patton Oswalt from a couple of other people, too.
Yes.
And you know, I wouldn't be surprised, because he also moderated that panel I went to.
Well, and here's the only problem about that, though. Is that I think Patton would totally overshadow everyone. That's my personal belief. Mm-hmm. And because he's, let's face it, he's a bigger name than Jonah and Felicia. Mm-hmm. He's a much bigger name. Now they could do that and maybe bring him on in very short spurts, because, you know, obviously they're going to have to pay him. More, I would believe.
Hence the $5.5 million.
Yeah,
the third of it is probably going to him. Or like you said, they just do it in spurts and just pull. They could pull a card from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he just shows up every now and again. You have no idea where he is.
Right, but I mean that. I don't know how much of a constant character you can have when you pull him up like that. It seems like it's too big for his role. I mean, I'm sure that he probably might want to do it, and that's fine. But I know that people would want it. Would to me, it would make more sense if he was the main mad, and then Felicia Day was the henchman, because then you've got some, you know, role reversal there.
I don't know though. Have you seen the video with her in character as? Was it Kinga? Kinga Forrester?
Yes.
It's spooky. Mm-hmm. I was not 100% on board with her as Mad until she came out there and she was like, you know, Kinga needs her massage. And I was just like, okay, yeah, no, that had some, like, you know, that had some serious Pearl overtones. I totally can feel this now.
See, and I was actually on the fence about Felicia Day being the new Mad, and I felt the same way. After I saw the video, I was like, oh man, it seemed like she nailed it. Like, to me, she did. I could be wrong.
There is a couple of other things just from the videos and from some of the production stuff that I've seen that I think we should maybe just throw out there real quick. So with Joel's departure halfway through the original run, the Gizmonic Institute was phased out. And it just became about Deep 13. So the hierarchy of the show roughly was Gizmonic Institute, and then underground labs were like Deep 12, Deep 13, Deep 14. And essentially, like, Dr. Forrester and Frank and Dr. Earhart originally were all holed up down there in Deep 13 off of Gizmonic's radar. Joel being in space was not sanctioned by Gizmonic Institute, but some of the stuff like the invention exchange, that was like a Gizmonic Institute thing. And also that was, you know, a lot of that stuff was invented by Joel. So when Joel left, there were a few weak, weird leftover invention exchanges with Mike for the first couple episodes, and then it kind of, yeah, they phased it out. Like the last couple of episodes, like one of the ones that they showed on the Turkey Day Marathon was Outlaw, and it didn't have a proper invention exchange. They didn't call it that, but it had that segment where Forrester and Frank built a time machine and then, you know, came out and were in timey garb, and then it switched back to Mike and the bots, and they did like a thing like an invention exchange. They just didn't call it that, and that was pretty much the death of the invention exchange there. So Jonah is in a bright yellow Gizmonics Institute jumpsuit,
right?
Which means we've gone back to Gizmonic Institute.
Right. It does say Gizmonics on it, so obviously.
Right. So, I mean, we've got the big Gear G back on the door. Like the door for the Kickstarter things when it's closed at the very beginning. It's got the Gizmonic G on it, which they didn't have in the later episodes. After Mike took over, after they did the set redesign, they replaced the G with just a gear with the dog bone in the middle of it.
Right.
Now, wasn't it true that Joel owns the rights to that name, Gizmonics Institute?
He did. I'm wondering if he has given it up as part of the MST deal and his association with it again, so that they can go back to using it and get back to the original, you know, like extra crispy version of MST that Joel brought back in the beginning.
Well, it could also be a joint effort where Joel said, okay, if you let me have a hand in this, I'll give you the rights to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's
could be.
But I wanted to throw that out there as a, let's think about the ramifications of these things, since we're in the wild mass guessing phase of things, that we could be having new invention exchanges.
And I think that is planned.
And that is awesome, because that, not that I didn't like Mike's run. I really did. A lot of the episodes there were the best ones. Sci-Fi Channel had a much better rota of movies to pick from, and the whole traveling through space and time, the first part of season 8 and stuff. The characters were strong, the stories were strong and stuff like that, but as far as just dropping in on a random episode of MST3K, the Joel ones stand a lot better because it is a lot more formulaic. You know you're going to get this, you know you're going to get that, you know you're going to get this, as far as the host segments were.
Right.
I mean, one of my favorite episodes is Space Mutiny. Let's face it, everybody loves Space Mutiny. Slab, large chest, bulk man, huge, you know. Mm. But the host segments for that episode, the initial one is Mike inventing Wikipedia about 10 years too early, and that's great. But then it's a bunch of stuff with Pearl and Bobo and Roman times, and Brain Guy doesn't have his brain and he's only at quarter power and stuff like that. And I mean, it's funny, but if that's your first episode of MST ever, what? You know?
It's a bit jarring.
It is. It's, or if, you know, you're going straight from a Joel era episode and you're on Random or something. That's a little, now, I mean, but you get the Castle Forester episodes later with Mike, smooth as butter, just right out there. So did anybody have any other rants on this? I figure we'll talk more about the guys that are the bots on the next episode, because that's sort of that's a newer announcement, and that's kind of under a lot of the other stuff going on. So
yeah, I feel like they should have let the bots reveal after Felicia Day.
Yeah.
Like, not, yeah. Oh, Felicia Day is our new mad scientist, and we got new voices for Tom and Crow.
Yeah, and it's I don't want to bury them, because they're going to be our main men. They're going to be our, so I don't want to bury them in all this.
The new stars at Dragon Con.
Yeah, so let's give them their due on the next episode. I did want to hit up a couple of other points here going through my agendas. I know. I'm all like prepared and stuff. I'm scaring myself. Riff Trax has Santa Claus and the Ice Cream Bunny live.
Oh yeah.
Coming up in a couple of weeks. How fast is the turnaround time on these, John? Like
what, until they show up online or?
Yeah.
I don't think it's terribly long, because, I mean, I'm trying to think, because when did I watch, because Hulu uploads
No, Us.
Are you talking about what?
Us, like the thing we're recording right now, how long before you...
Yes, we're going on to Hulu. We're sponsored
all by right.
Hulu. I'm sorry, I got confused.
No.
I'm hoping IMDb. I'm hoping to get this up... or at least edit it, chop it up into little pieces, and put it back together and Frankenstein it to death, hopefully Sunday.
Okay, cool. Well, then we can talk about this, because it won't have happened yet. Riff Trax Live, number 18, December 3rd, and then an encore showing December 15th. It's going to be another one of those that's done through the movie theaters.
Fathom.
So, Santa Claus and the Ice Cream Bunny. Oh my god, that is like... That...
It sounds scary.
And it's hard to watch.
It is kind of hard to watch. I'm hoping that, like, the live environment is gonna spice it up a little bit, because that is... That... It was painful. That's one of the few times when... the post... MST riffing done by the professionals, there's been a couple of times where it has just been so dry or bad that I've just kind of had to walk away from a thing they were doing. The Titanic, partially because I think it's 3 hours and they sort of ran out of funny jokes about 2.5 hours in, and the end, it's just, you know, like,
oh, did they actually do Titanic? I didn't
remember. Oh yeah, they did Titanic for Riff Trax. And then the one that was like the third one that they did for Cinematic Titanic, where it was like got people lost in space. Hmm. And I'll pull it up.
I should say, I guess number one, we should come up with a name for the show if we're going to continue. Number two, obviously, this is Podcast Zero. Because the first episode should be something where, I mean, we've been doing pretty good with the organization. Thank you, Jim. But, I mean, I like to start with a zero just in case, you know.
Just in case it blows up.
Yeah.
We're giving you a taste. This is a... It's like
hopefully we can get more of the old Deep 13ers involved with this. I know.
I'm honestly thinking that we should really call this just Pound Deep 13.
Pound what, like deep. Like the word pound?
No, just like the
can you put the hashtag deviance after us?
Well, hashtag
Pound Deep.
Well, yeah, I mean,
reminds me of the story when some random kid came into our chat and said, "Is this a group about deep throating 13-year-olds?"
Oh my god, someone did that?
Yes.
Oh my
god. How could you deep throat a 13-year-old? I mean,
oh, okay. Oh, all right. Let's not get into that. Like, I feel like we'll ask Jared if we ever have him on this, but that needs to stay out.
We will never have Jared. We will never have Bill Cosby.
Well, then I guess we're never.
We don't want people to fall asleep while we're talking.
No. I have a girlfriend. Thank you very much.
Okay, so it was actually the second episode, which was Doomsday Machine. And the reason that I think the problem with it was Doomsday Machine is one of those movies where it was being produced by one guy and then he ran out of money. And then like 10 years later, somebody looking to just cash in, bought the rights to it, filmed like 20 minutes worth of extra footage with entirely different actors and different pacing that made no sense whatsoever in the context of the rest of the movie and just sort of shoehorned them in at the end. And that's about the point where like the movie itself passes below this threshold where it is so bad it is painful to watch. And
that sounds like a live action food fight.
Yeah, I can sort of feel that. It was bad. So, Santa Claus and the Ice Cream Bunny, I'm hoping if you've got a good crowd, if you're a place that does the Fathom events and you got a lot of people coming, I'm hoping that the crowd work will be really good. I'm hoping that the audience reaction will be really good. I have no hopes whatsoever that the actual movie will be really good because I've seen it and I think I'd probably rather I'd rather just stick my head in the popcorn popper and slam the door on it a few times than watch it again if it's all the same.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Like, I remember watching it with a friend. We had to stop halfway through, and we're like, all right, we're done. This is hard. Well, we can't watch it.
There are movies like that out there. I mean, they all can't be The Room.
Yeah, some movies, it's a fresh serving of wacky, horrible things every few minutes. One of the...
Oh, hi, Jim.
What?
Oh, hi, Joey.
Ah, yes. one of the hidden surprises we uncovered for Cinematic for the People was a movie called And now I'm blanking on my own. It was like season 2, episode 7. The Armageddon Clock or Time Machine. Okay, I feel like an idiot now. It's bad when I have to go to Wikipedia and pull up.
That's old age, Jim.
It is. It's bad when I have to go to pick up to Wikipedia to pick up the name of a cinematic Titanic episode. It is terrible when I have to like go to my own YouTube page to pick up the fucking name of an episode of my own TV show that I make.
That's clearly your brain saying, please don't give me this again, please.
Yesterday Machine. And it's a Nazi scientist trying to invent a time machine so that he can go back and change the outcome of the war. Mm-hmm. Which war, you ask? Not World War II. That would make sense. He's going to go back and try and change the outcome of the American Revolutionary War.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
That I can potentially see a couple of minor snags with that, but sure, why not? But the beauty of this movie is there is a like 12-minute long monologue in the middle of it where the scientist basically delivers his fucking TED Talk. Are we allowed to cuss?
I don't know. Is that something we should or should not do?
I don't generally cuss. And it just occurred to me now as I dropped the F-bomb there. Are we doing that? I mean, I don't see the need to be particularly explicit. So.
Are we doing Comedy Central Sci-Fi or are we doing the movie?
I mean, I kind of think that we should kind of keep it not super clean, but, you know, at least try to tone it down.
Yeah.
Should it be Adventure Club or should it be Swimcast? I'm going with Adventure Club on that one.
That works for me.
Yeah.
So anyway, the scientist just like he's got the hero tied up and he delivers his TED Talk about his theory of time travel to the to the hero who is tied up and cannot leave. Including not one, but two blackboards full of, like, diagrams and drawings and explanations on how time travel works. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was special.
That reminds me of the scene in The Incredibles when they're talking about when they got captured and then they start monologuing about, you know, about their evil plan and that they're going to do this, that, and whatever, you know? And it's just, it just puts a kind of a halt on the movie, especially when it's like 10 minutes long, you know, like what you said, it just drags on and on. And it's hard to come up with good riffs for that amount of time.
Yeah. I have to admit most of our riffs for that sequence were, oh my God, he's still talking. Does he realize the cameras are on? You know, that sort of, like, at the request of the people, I threw a clock up in the corner to time it, and it was a refuge in audacity at that point of how long he could run without being stopped by the director, who I'm hoping told him, "Fill, like, you know, stretch it out, fill for time," yeah, but Santa Claus and the Ice Cream Bunny is a little bit of a rough watch. Hope you have fun. Let us know how it went. I'm terribly sorry, anyone that's planning on going and seeing it. Okay, new developments. That's the only really new Riff Tracks news. I did see something really neat, and this ties into a couple of other things. Just kind of as a little coda here at the end, there was a very nice MST3K sponsored little promo that Incognito Cinema Warriors recorded for the Turkey Day Marathon. Now, if you're not familiar with them, Incognito Cinema Warriors is stylistically very similar to MST. They pull no punches about it, just like we don't. They're like, we are totally inspired by it. They had a tendency to do a little bit more in the horror, gore genre, you know, like Italian horror movies, you know, Blood Castle of Blood, that sort of movies. It's a great premise if you've never heard of their stuff. They have, unlike us, which is mostly just people sitting there talking at cameras, they actually have like a set and props and really good production values. They don't make a ton of stuff, but they are really cool people and I cannot recommend them enough. So if you need something to tide yourselves over until these mythical new MST episodes come out, I would strongly recommend you check them out. And their website is ICWXP.com. So, and they've got, they're currently, the thing that they're doing is they are watching Resident Evil Remastered and riffing. Basically, they're doing like a Let's Play, but much more with the whole riffing side of things. More like a let's talk about this. Again, I'm cussing. Why am I cussing? Did anybody have anything else that they wanted to talk about? Because I think that's pretty much everything I had on my little agenda thingy.
The only thing that I wanted to bring up is I'm really liking maybe the special effects that they're doing. Like the Tom Servo hovering and, you know, the different items that, you know, when Joel put in the theater seats, I thought that was pretty cool. It really gives me hope and kind of like an insight of how the new show is going to be. It's not going to be super high quality. It's going to be the quality we've come to, you know, expect from Mystery Science Theater 3000. But I'm really kind of enjoying that.
They are not deviating too far from the Cowtown Puppet Show things. And yeah, it occurred to me when they were like, when I saw Servo fly away, I was like, you know, it would be really easy to do a hover effect on that. All you got to do is just you extend the control rod poles underneath him like a couple of feet extra so that the puppeteer can stay way down, and then you paint them whatever the chroma color is. I know they use LumaKey on the theater stuff, but well, they used to use LumaKey, but they probably can go back to ChromaKey now that they've got more advanced computer algorithms to key out the non-silhouette parts. And I've lost almost everybody, haven't I?
Technical issues, questions, things.
Chroma key is green screen or blue screen. It's the thing where you just basically tell a computer or whatever the device is, anything that is within this to this color, just ignore it and replace it with this picture. LumaKey is the same thing, but instead of color, it's brightness. And I'm pretty sure for a long time they were using LumaKey for the theaters instead of ChromaKey because it gave them... LumaKey is more accurate because you're essentially just shooting in black and white, so all of that picture data can go into just contrast information, and you can really dial in where you want the difference to be. With ChromaKey, if you've ever seen like bad ChromaKey effects, you'll see, you know, like somebody bumps into the background and suddenly like the wall turns like green for just a second or has like a green ripple in it or something.
Or if someone's wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
But what I was saying is that they could actually use that to their advantage if they put Servo on a neon green pole and they're using green as the key color. Servo could fly a couple of inches above the desk and you wouldn't be able to see it because he'd be on a green pole.
Hmm. Good point.
So I'm really interested to see where they take it. I'm hopeful.
I'm hopeful too. I hope they're able to raise the 5.5. It seems like they're on the right track.
Yeah, I think, I had it up here. They're at, as of tonight, they just broke the 3 million mark. They are at 3,094,195, and they have 14 days to go.
And nice. The nice thing about it is they're offering all these, if memory serves, if you donate $35 or more, like you get like some of the older episodes, you can download them, I guess.
Yeah, let's see. 25 or more gives you access to live streaming online premiere of the new show. MST, wallpapers and ringtones. 35 gets you the same as that, plus a digital download of the new first episode, no DRM. $50 gets you a t-shirt, which won't fit me. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
I think it goes all the way up to 5X.
Yeah, I'm a tall, though. Oh. That's the problem. I can put on a 5X, and that's great, but as soon as I reach above me, everybody can see my belly button. It's, I am Johnny Long Torso. So yeah, it's, no, I mean, if you haven't donated, definitely should, hit the Kickstarter up and see what they've got in there. Well, like I said, the next mark, which gets us 6 episodes, is 3.3 million. And we are getting close to that. And then the next one after that is 4.4. And then 5.5 gets us 12 episodes. So it's we're past the initial buy-in. Because he explained it in one of the things. Startup costs, getting people hired, all sorts of stuff like that. That's why that first three cost $2 million, and then after that, it's like $1.3 million for each new batch of episodes after that, because they won't have to build sets, they won't have to build bots, they won't have to build offices and stuff like that. So. Yay. And looks like they're estimating here. I hadn't really seen this yet, but you could probably take this how you want. The $35 or more pledge locale offers the digital download of the first new episode in full HD with no DRM, and the estimated delivery on that is November of 2016. The online premiere, the estimated delivery is July of 2016. So they're looking at a pretty fast turnaround time on these, at least for the initial episodes. So
yeah.
Here's to hoping.
I didn't see that little tidbit of information, so that's actually pretty important.
Yeah, it may be. I mean, that's not what they're saying. It's not like we're planning to have this released by, but it's one of those you read between the lines things, like seeing Jonah in the Gizmonic. They've got the digital downloads of the whole new first season. Estimated delivery is February of 2017. So, and they're saying that even if they go all the way up to 12 episodes. So, you know, this is looking like it's going to happen in the next year.
Right.
Of course, this is Kickstarter. Operating on Kickstarter time and in Kickstarter reality, so
yeah,
offered not valid in that one state in New England that has the weird rules.
And I'm still waiting for my RoboCop statue.
Yeah.
Hey, Death of Superman Lives finally came out. No one. Okay, never mind.
Cool. All right. So I think that's, I don't have anything else. We're going to, So I laid out our plans, and if you're listening to this, episode zero, for the love of Cthulhu, throw us some feedback. What do you want to hear? What don't you want to hear? What do the handful of other MST podcasts that already exist do that you like? What did they do that you hate? What insulting thing should I call John next time? You know, where do you want us to take this? We're at the wheel, but you're the navigator.
You are the driver. What would you do if this happened to you, Manos?
Roll for initiative. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely on... what are we going to have, John? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace, Friendster.
We could utilize
LinkedIn.
Yes, every episode of this comes with a LinkedIn friend request.
Oh my. Yeah, I mean, we have a Deep 13 Twitter also at Deep 13 IRC.
Cool. So, all right.
That's one place. There's also the Deep 13 group. And like I said, this is going to be available hopefully on the acpn.com is probably the easiest place to access it. And maybe someone can put it on Deep 13, the website, which is now deep13.august4th.org.
Nice. All right. Well, so there you go. That is our contact information. And like I said, we want to hear from you, and not just in the usual narcissistic ways. We are cookie dough that is not quite done baking. So if you want to stick your finger in this cookie dough and wiggle, now is the time. Get in there.
Get out, Jared.
Get out of here, Jared.
I came, I saw, made it weird. Yeah. That's me.
On that note, good night, everybody.
Good night.
I was alone with the world too tame. I was evil but feeling blue. Looking around, talking to clowns, never guessing that I'd find you. Working the fryer, I was never a crier. I had a void in the shape of you. Looking for love, but hoping for evil. All's I got was chicken cordon bleu. But a bean, we're living in Deep 13. Nobody knows what we mean. Ruling the world with our heads in a swirl, and it's keen. Living in Deep 13. Oh, thank you, thank you. Folks at home, Mike, little friends. Well, that's it. Good night.